the best recruiting is simply being more helpful. You know, it's not manipulation, it's not trickery, it's not playing games, it's just be more helpful. And the only way to be truly helpful is to know something about them, right? So you understand the moment they're in.
Welcome to the EdTech Connect podcast, your source for exploring the cutting-edge world of educational technology. I'm your host, Jeff Dillon, and I'm excited to bring you insights and inspiration from the brightest minds and innovators shaping the future of education. We'll dive into conversations with leading experts, educators, and solution providers who are transforming the learning landscape. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. So sit back, relax, and let's dive in. Welcome to another episode of the EdTech Connect podcast. We have Dallin Palmer, the co-founder of Halda Inc., an AI-powered platform revolutionizing engagement for enrollment marketers in higher ed. With a background in sales and service design at companies like Podium and Chegg, Dallin specializes in innovative data-driven solutions that drive personalization and automation in marketing. And I met Dallin a couple years ago, and I think they were one of the first companies that I really were leading with AI. So I'm excited to have you here, Dallin.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
So let's just start off with asking you, what inspired you to co-found Halda, and what key challenges in higher ed were you aiming to address?
Yeah, I mean, when Lance and I worked together at Chegg, and we met up at sort of this like Chegg reunion. A lot of us had gone to work elsewhere, and he talked about the fact that he'd started up a business and didn't have a partner, and I was ready to start my own thing. So we partnered up, and at first we were just doing, you know, marketing services for universities. Mm-hmm. And we were on the hunt for figuring out what's the right software to build. We knew we wanted to build software. We just didn't know what it was just yet. And we did this survey with a bunch of graduate programs at the time. We partnered with NAGAP to say, okay, in the realm of digital marketing, what do you need the most of? And they said leads. And part of that survey, we said, okay, we'll review your landing pages. And so we're reviewing it. So we start to write these reports. We wrote about 100 of them. And over and over and over again, we said the exact same thing, which was, hey, your calls to action, because you want more leads, right? You need more conversions. Well, your calls to action, they're clear. Apply now. Learn more. Contact us. They're just not compelling. They don't give anyone a reason to interact with you right now today. And that's really been the core insight that we were building off of since day one, is we just thought, oh my gosh, everyone has this problem. And if we can solve this problem really well for everyone, well, then we'll win. And so the inspiration really is that every single enrollment marketing dollar in one way, shape, or form finds its way back to the website. I don't care if you're sending recruiters out to college fairs and high school visits, buying billboard space, of course, doing digital media. All of those dollars end up back on the website, even your search campaigns. If you're buying lists of names and sending out mail and email, they're going to say, okay, who are these people? Let's check them out. They go to the website. It's the first stop. And so if you can make the website a more engaging place, if you can give someone a reason to engage with you, you can make every single dollar in your enrollment marketing budget more productive, sometimes two or three times more productive. You know, Halda can't fix product problems, meaning like if you're offering a program that nobody wants, I can't fix that. But what I can fix is, let's give someone a reason to start the conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And we found that, you know, the best recruiting is simply being more helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not manipulation, it's not trickery, it's not playing games, it's just be more helpful. And the only way to be truly helpful is to know something about them, right? So you understand the moment they're in.
So that makes total sense to me. You know, I have a background in kind of this area, but could you walk us through how this works? How can AI transform these traditional enrollment marketing practices? And what impact does that personalization have on recruitment?
Yeah. Well, so it's it's something that's a little bit tricky to talk about. I think too many software companies just splatter AI over everything. Yeah, AI. Like, it's not all AI, right? Like, some of this is just good old foundational things that digital marketers should be doing. So I'll start with just like the basics. The basics are your website. Most institution websites are so massive. We're talking hundreds of thousands of pages. They function like a Google search. So the first thing that we pick up on is their behavior. Where are they going on your website? Right? There's this old adage you'll hear a lot of people in higher ed say, if I want to find something on my website, I go to Google and search for it. And then I get the link and then I go. I don't try and do my own site navigation. I don't do my own site search. It's terrible. But the point is, if you think about that flow, I search for something on Google and then I go to the secondary or tertiary page with that information. What are they telling you by the mere fact that they're on a specific page? They're telling you, I'm in this kind of moment. So for example, if they're on a financial aid and scholarships page, that's a very different moment than a list of programs page. So installing Halda and getting it running is really straightforward. Step one is install a script globally. Let's watch the behavior. Where are people coming to? What does that tell us about the moment that they're in? Step two is let's upgrade all of your web forms. RFI forms should not exist. They're terrible and they're very institution-centric. Instead of saying request information, you should say, hey, you're on the scholarship and financial aid page. That tells you how people pay for school, but how are you going to pay for school? Instead of saying, tell me a bunch of information and say, thanks, we'll be in touch. And maybe you will, maybe you won't. We've done some like secret shopper stuff, like 30, 40% of the time, you actually don't get anything, or at least you don't for several days. Instead of doing that, why don't we say, tell me a little bit more about you, including your contact info, of course, and I'll instantly give you personalized content in return. So that's the second step. Let's upgrade all your forms. Then the third step is let's upgrade your site search. The days of like searching for something and getting links that I have to go to and read more of, those are quickly going away. Like, we need to actually deliver answers in response to search. So we have an AI engine that will help summarize your website content, find it for them. They don't need to use your site navigation, find it, summarize it, deliver it. When you do those three things, we then culminate all of those in what we call our hub, where we can, because we understand their behavior, volunteered information from forms and what they've been searching for, I can now select, tailor, and recommend specific pieces of content, quizzes, assessments, additional forms, communities like Zemi if you're using it, et cetera, to then recommend the right next steps, the right content for the individual. Right. So some of it's just good data collection, right? The AI piece of it for us is taking what I've learned about you to then select, generate, recommend the right content for the individual.
So you're taking this information from their user behavior. We have that from their browser
cookies
and things like that. Do you ask the prospective student or the audience when they're coming to the site to provide a little more information?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's foundational, right? If you're on the scholarship page, I'm going to say, tell me more about you and I'll instantly estimate a scholarship. If you're on, you know, a competitive program page, hey, tell me more about you and I'll let you know how you could improve your chances of being admitted here, right? Very compelling, way more compelling than a learn more call to action. That's really dumb, right? Like, people can learn more than they can ever read on the internet today, right? They don't want to learn more. They want to learn about them. How does this apply to me? And so that's what we do, is we upgrade all of these calls to action to be much more compelling, much more personalized. And again, AI is what powers our ability to personalize at scale. Because now I can take what you told me specifically and match it up with the content available in the knowledge base, primarily your published content on your website, but you can upload other documents to us, so that now I can, based on what I learned about this individual and the restricted knowledge base I have, now I can deliver the exact right content to this person, and that's different than what I delivered to that person. Mm-hmm. Because they have different situations.
Have you found that universities, I mean, I'm very familiar with the complexity of universities. Like, there's so many data sources, there's so many personas, right? Parents, students, faculty, community. Within the students, there's prospective students, graduate students, you know, current undergrads. It seems to me, is this a focus for you because that complexity really, AI really can help when an environment is so complex?
I mean, at most marketers have been indoctrinated with the fact that segmentation is crucial for a decade now, right? That's nothing new. What's hard about it is it takes so much work to segment. I got to create multiple variations of copy, but you're right. And that's the magic of AI, is like, now we can segment down to the individual through technology, not through someone having to create. Like, you just need to make sure your knowledge base is solid. As long as the knowledge base is solid, the permutations, the segmentation, all of that, all that can do auto magically.
To me, it seems like higher ed has struggled with personalization for decades now. I was in the early 2000s, we were experimenting with it at my first university. And the problem at that point was we couldn't keep up with content updates. The platform was there, but having these different departments keep their certain content updated so we could serve the right information wasn't there. We didn't have AI at that point. DXPs came along. Now we can do a whole infrastructure replacement and have personalization, but that seems like such a big commitment. So I'm kind of almost helping sell here for you, but I think, are you seeing that too, that this, we could even just test this. It's such a low barrier to entry. Let's see, you know, what are the use cases for testing this type of or starting off? And I mean, I guess enrollment is one. Are there other ways since it seems relatively easy to get up and going?
I mean, it's super easy to get up and going. You could install the script and have a first asset live and triple the conversions you're seeing from your targeted pages within a day, right? Like, it's not a huge lift. So, I mean, we're pretty focused on the enrollment problem. And we'll remain in this zone for some time, I believe, to really just hone that in. I think it's the biggest problem that institutions are facing, especially as you have shifting preferences in the market. You've got shifting demographics, of course, that everyone talks about. There's a real uphill battle. And I think higher ed's going to continue to right size for some time. Education won't, right? Education is the best thing that anyone can pursue. But the way that they go to consume it, we'll continue to see shifts there for sure. So I think that institutions who are going to survive and thrive in this market disruption are going to be those that really get serious about how they recruit students and, of course, retain them, right? You still, again, I can't solve a product problem. Your product has to be solid also. But yeah, I mean, it's so easy. It's a lot easier than people think. The biggest pushback we get, which I think is just funny, we get on conversations all the time, like, well, I don't really trust my website. It's out of date. I don't want to use that as the knowledge base. I'm like, well, then we need to update your website, because whether it's right or not, that's what people see. Yeah. It's like the dumbest objection I've ever heard in my life. It's like, I don't want to use that. Well, guess what? It's what you've published. It's so dumb. It bothers me. It gets under my skin. But here's the good news, because you're right. Websites are massively complex. We're working with an institution, 700,000 pages within their ecosystem. So no wonder marketers are like, it's out of date and I'm worried about this, because, like, I don't know. Here's the thing, though. It's a prioritization problem. So inside of Halda, we will track for you what pages are we pulling content from. So if you see an answer, or if we get feedback from a student, we ask every student, was this helpful? Thumbs up, thumbs down, comments, right? So there's a lot of user feedback too, to say, like, was this helpful? Was this right? Hey, this isn't right. So there's a lot of ways to collect the data, but we'll pull from URLs and we'll track, where are we getting the content from? Or can we not find the content? Is content missing altogether? So what we're now providing to the marketer is to say, listen, you've got a big hairy problem, which is your website. Don't let that delay the deployment of an AI tool like this, because as we use your website to generate content, I can now give you a prioritized list of content that either needs to be updated, created, or deleted, because it'll be prioritized by what questions are students actually asking and where do those answers come from? Is it right? Because it's being asked 25 times a week. That should be your priority for updating. And now your content teams have a very clear list of, like, here's the content that's actually being used. Don't spend your time on a page that's buried and only gets 5 visits a year, right? So I think that for those who are worried about their website being outdated, these tools help you. They help you prioritize, because now you know what content is actually being used and consumed on a daily basis.
Part of what I've heard from higher ed, from institutions, is that they're afraid of what data these LLMs and these models might use, right? Even if, whether it's out in the world or their own messy environment. So here's one example is like, let's say you're the Office of Communications and you have archives of news stories for years. Are you able to preclude or hide like, oh, that should be really deprioritized, these archives of news. It needs to be up there, but we really don't want it coming up unless someone identifies as some sort of persona that needs that information. Can you do
that? So the way that we think about that is we leverage SEO as part of our algorithm for picking the right content. So again, it helps the marketer have a cohesive strategy. What I mean by that is if someone asks blah, blah, blah question, and one of the highest ranking pages is this like deep article that they would rather not use, I'm still going to use it because what I want them to know is that if someone's searching outside of your environment, if they are doing a Google search, guess what? That's the page that will be recommended and will likely get the clicks. Mm-hmm. So I want there to be like this comprehensive awareness of their content. Because once again, if they don't like that, consider moving that content to a page that doesn't have such good SEO.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So like there are ways inside of our system to sort of massage it and tailor it and have more control over what's used for sure. We've got that tooling. But in general, if you use it in the way that it finds data and content the same way a human would find data and content, it just allows you to have a much better approach to your content because you're not like living in your own little fairyland. It forces you to stare at reality and be like, okay, this is the content that's used. This is the content that's optimized. And now when you make an update, it benefits all of your platforms, not just Halva, right? It improves your entire ecosystem.
So how do you measure success? Do you have any ROI stories or schools who've really seen certain numbers go up?
I'm going to start with a story that is like pre-answer to your question. So when Lance and I first started the marketing services piece of this, we were using this digital marketing service provider. I won't mention their names, but I will call out the type of service it is to do mobile geofenced ads. Hmm. Anyone listening to this podcast, please never buy that. It is such a pile of garbage. That's like one of the worst products I've ever worked with. Now, we didn't know that at first. So we were deploying it. We were sending out all these ads and we're like, okay, cool. Yeah, we're getting such good click-through rate. And like their problem, but of course we ran into problems of like tracking it down funnel, improving any real tangible ROI. So this is where it's going to come back to your question. There's this one time where the platform promises cool technology where it's like, hey, we'll like tag the devices that see the ad and then we'll do a collection geofence around campus. So like if we're promoting a visit day or whatever, we'll be able to know how many people both saw the ad and showed up on campus. So like, hey, that's pretty cool. That shows some ROI. So I get the report back from this platform and I'm looking at it and it says, and I lean over to Lance. I'm like, Lance, I'm looking at this report. Every single number, every number in this report is divisible by 4. Does that seem natural to you? Does that seem organic? No, like this, there is monkey business going on here. So we call them up. We're like, hey, what the hell's going on here? Like, oh yeah, well, for every one we actually see, we assume there's 3 more. So we multiply all the numbers by 4. I'm not kidding you. Such bullshit. Like it is so bad. So at that moment, like that was a very clear moment where like, we are not selling this anymore. And because it just like instilled in us, like we will never be able to build a long-term, healthy, profitable business if we are not seeking truth about what actually is helpful, what really creates value. Not like fluffy junk that like, because you can trick people for a year, maybe 2. But that'll catch up to you. So like when you talk about ROI and finding it, like the number one value up on the wall in our company is called seek truth in everything we do. And it came from this experience. Figure out what actually works, what truly moves the needle. So we ask ourselves this question of like, are we adding value? Are we providing a good ROI every single day? The paired value to that is if the student wins, everyone wins. And we truly believe that. So that's why I mentioned earlier, every single interaction that we publish or an institution publishes using our platform includes a feedback loop from the student. Gotcha. Saying, was this helpful? Thumbs up, thumbs down, and please give us comments. 93% of the time, students are saying this was helpful. The other 7% are a mixed bag of I don't qualify for a scholarship and I don't like that, or hey, something didn't show up right. Or, so like there's legitimate feedback too. But 93% of students are saying this is a better experience for me. I'm finding answers faster. I didn't know if I could do this, but now I believe that I can, and I'm so excited. Like really emotional feedback sometimes. We get dozens and dozens of pieces of feedback a day. That's really our North Star. Like if we can be helpful to students, we'll win. Now, of course, we get data back from schools too that show this personalizing that journey, giving instant answers in a personalized way, and really being there for prospective students, these inquiries are the best inquiries in the world. There's no better way to spend your money, because the ROI isn't necessarily incremental inquiries. It's not about, oh, would I have gotten these inquiries otherwise or not? No. This is a foundational platform, because again, our aim is to make every dollar of your enrollment marketing strategies more productive. I want you to have a better chance of converting the kid that visited your website after a high school visit, after an email search campaign, right? Because if we can convert better from all sources of traffic, then we'll win. And so on average, a university website with your just request information, book a tour, whatever the standard calls to actions you have on your website, you'll convert around 0.5% to 1% of your prospective student traffic. On average with Halda, we're converting 3.5% of your traffic. Wow. 3.5 doesn't sound like a ton, but when you think about, I started at 1%, I'm tripling your conversions.
Yeah.
Now, of course, would I have gotten some of these anyway? Yeah, you would have. Absolutely. Like I'm not going to sit here and say you wouldn't, but you're definitely getting a huge chunk of kids you would have lost to a competitor or to non-consumption. And so, and providing a much better experience along the way. So lots of stories. I mean, we've got them up on our website of just comparative data, standard RFI, Halda, both in terms of volume, initial volume, but also quality and persistence through that recruitment funnel is so much higher because people can get instant answers to questions. And I think it does do a good job of relieving burden on your enrollment team, on your admissions counselors, because you will get fewer calls because your website can answer the questions.
It feels like what you're building is almost like, I think a couple of years ago, it was funny. There was an article that came out that Stanford had more employees than students. And it was like, we should have a concierge for every student. Like,
yeah.
That was kind of the parody of that. It's almost like you almost can try to do that with AI and feel like, gosh, this school is a good fit for me. You can't hold every student's hand, but at least give them what they need when they need it.
Yep.
Much better.
Well, kind of, and I think schools have to do that. Like anyone apart from like your very most tippity top tier of institutions, you cannot remain in this paradigm of you prove to me, if I'm the university, you saying, talking to a student, you prove to me that you're worth my time.
Yeah.
That's been the default posture, right?
Yeah.
I will give you attention once I deem you worthy.
Yeah.
And anyone that's not in like the most elite schools, you've got to change your tune. You just do, because like the whole population has been accustomed to having things tailored to them. Right? We went from boom boxes that everyone had to listen to the same music this teenager wanted to play, to where now everyone has personal AirPods, right? Like we're all listening to our own thing. We went from TV channels where it's like, I just have to watch what the whole country watches, to personalized recommendations on Netflix. Mm-hmm. We went to, I have to go to Walmart and just deal with what's on the shelf, to I can get anything I want whenever I want on Amazon, right? It's just all the expectations are changed. And so if you want to keep up and deliver, like higher ed is a luxury good. It just is, both from an expense perspective and increasingly with the competition, it's like if you want this like luxury experience of being on campus, going to games, having parties, building network, like that is a luxury good, because I can do this alternative education. Mm-hmm. I can get a certificate. And a bunch of employers don't require a bachelor's degree. You are a luxury good. And if you're selling a luxury good, you need a luxury experience.
Yeah, it's just a perfect storm right now, in that what you just explained about like the degree being more and more, there's more options out there, private competition. What about brain drain in higher ed? There's less people.
Yeah.
Can't hold the hands, right? So we need technology to help us there. Then we have the enrollment cliff. I mean, it's just, it really is prime for what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
With AI and data collection. This always comes up, so I got to ask it. Privacy is always a significant concern. How do you deal with the data privacy and ethical considerations with personalization?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. There's a real difference when you personalize based on data you've purchased versus data that's been given to you. There's a difference both legally and from just an experience perspective. So it's creepy if you get personalization based on stuff you did not give them. It's like, why do you know that about me? I'm now afraid of your brand, right? That's why for us, we only personalize based on information that has been given to us or that they've displayed within our environment, right? So what's really being curtailed in the market from a privacy perspective is cross-site information, right? Primarily targeting like Facebook and all of that, but then also like selling people's information without their consent, right? Like name buys and platforms like Niche, they're going to have to wrestle with this that like, no, you can't have blanket consent and I'll sell it to anybody. Because like getting an email from XYZ University that I don't know and I didn't express interest in is sort of weird. It's like, I don't even know you guys. So what we're doing at Halda that keeps schools very squarely in the good zone is to say, we only use the data that they volunteer to us to interact. It's the behavior that they take on our properties, right? While they're interacting with our assets. So they're within our ecosystem. I can collect that data with information that they volunteer to me through these forms and assessments. That's why it's so important to offer compelling value, because then they tell you their biggest motivation, their biggest concern, what they're interested in, what they're worried about, what their GPA was in high school. They will volunteer that to you if you offer them real value. And so from a privacy perspective, you're really buttoned up with something like Halda because it's all first party data. Mm. I'm not buying the data from anyone else.
Gotcha.
And so it keeps you really clean. Now from an AI perspective and these AI models, of course, like we never submit any PII in a prompt. And then when you're using softwares, not like the ChatGPT interface, but we're using software and connecting through an API, that similarly does not go into the training model. So none of the data that we share is used to train the model. We always, you know, restrict and hold back any type of PII. So we do a lot of things to make sure that we're protecting students along the way. But yeah, those are my general thoughts about it. Like schools just, you cannot buy the data the way you used to. B, like consumers are a lot smarter than they used to be, right? They're not razzle dazzled by this stuff anymore. So like you just need to up your game. It's not a game anymore of let's buy a million names and spam a million names.
Yeah.
Let's build a reason for people to it's more inbounds, like HubSpot, right? Like make experiences that make people come to you to say like, oh wow, I like these guys. I want to interact with them. Because it's a cool experience.
Just a clarification. Like I know there's other companies that are trying to do similar types of things out there. But with Halda, you're basically, tell me if I'm right here, a personalization layer. You can use it different ways. You're not like you don't have to buy a CRM or it's not.
That's right. Yeah. No. Product, yeah. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. It's really about saying, again, Halda, you know, four components. The fourth is auto done based on the first three. Install a script on your website. Replace your web forms, replace your site search with our AI search, right? And then from that, you get the personalization layer because I'm collecting all the data I need to make all the content recommendations. So we're 100% focused on your digital properties and making them a super collider of conversion, like the best converting website ever through Halda. And so no, you don't replace your CRM. You don't replace your CMS. We're not the full CMS either, right? We're there to create that personalization layer, like you said, and boost your conversions.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to wrap it up with this last question for you, Dallin, is for universities just beginning to explore AI personalization, what advice would you give enrollment marketers to start leveraging AI?
You know, there's easy stuff that a lot of people talk about in terms of like, use the base model to help you write that next blog. Use the base model to help you, you know, like they're so good at like, hey, upload or create a document to help you. So I'll give you an example. I took transcripts from a lot of our sales calls and I anonymized them just to say, hey, podium, person, customer. And then I used that to create a FAQ database, right? Just from 300 pages of transcripts from calls that we've recorded. So AI created that for me on a dime, right? And hey, create a blog that talks about how we solve this problem, that problem. So like they definitely, marketers should definitely use it for those purposes. The next thing to do though, I don't think like the base models and just prompting is going to get you to the level of productivity that you really want. So the next thing to do is to be very thoughtful about how AI is being built into the softwares you use every day. That's where it's really going to become powerful, right? Where like, how can my CRM help me create personalized drip campaigns based on a knowledge base and all the data about that CRM record? You've seen announcements from Salesforce like this. I think Slate's last summit, they talked about it. I don't know if they've rolled it out yet, but be thoughtful about the CRM you choose and how they're integrating AI into it. Be thoughtful about the CMS you choose and how it's integrating AI into it. And then of course the connectivity of it all, right? It's got to flow really seamlessly through your stack. Right. But I think that to get big unlocks, not just prompt engineering, to get big unlocks of productivity through AI, it's going to be baked into the softwares you use every day. Yeah. And so you want to be thoughtful about, and just test a bunch of stuff. We've tested things both internally in our software as well as softwares we use, you learn, this is like a cool demo, but it's fluff. Like I don't actually get a ton of value from it. So I do think it'll just take a lot of experimentation. The biggest thing from my perspective is just don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
Like really don't. Like jump in, roll up your sleeves, use this stuff. It will spur on additional ideas and creativity because, man, it will be the catalyst that will propel us to a ton of prosperity. I really believe that. I was listening to this podcast yesterday, Brad Gerstner and Jensen Huang. Jensen Huang, of course, is CEO of NVIDIA. They're talking about the future. And I really love Jensen Huang's perspective. He said, hey, listen, if all of a sudden you get all these productivity gains and you're hitting new records through the use of AI, that next email from the CEO is not going to be a layoff. You don't lay people off when things are going great. Okay. So he said, you know, NVIDIA has about 30,000 employees today. I see a future 10 years from now where I have 50,000 employees, but I have 100,000 AI employees. And we're able to scale up because of that. And humans can do more of the work that is truly innate and unique to humans. And so, I mean, all the mumbo jumbo about, it'll steal our jobs, blah, 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 like Hidden Figures. I love that movie where they invented a computer and you had that room of ladies who used to do all the math and all the calculation. What do they do? They said, you know what? This is changing. Let's figure out how to manage this machine. Yeah. And they evolved. They adapted to do higher level work. Like, I just think that's the way that you really need to look at this revolution of technology. Because it's coming one way or another. Like there's no stopping it. And as you embrace it, it really is marvelous what you can accomplish.
We can grow exponentially, I think, is what I'm hearing, which
totally
makes sense to me. And on the preparation, what about getting your content cleaned up and curated, right? That's probably a good start.
Yeah, for real. So yeah, we've been kicking around ideas about that specifically. Like don't have a human read through every single page.
Yeah.
Get a rubric together. There you go. And have AI read through every page and say, okay, this page is fine. This page is fine. Red flag here. I need humans to review this. There might be a problem here, right? Like so much that we can do.
I almost feel like higher ed just needs to really be thinking about, how to use AI more effectively because it can almost do so many things for us. Yeah. But well, that was incredible. Dallin, I would want to give you your time back and close out the show and let everyone know that you can find more information on Halda in the show notes. And thank you for being on.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Jeff. Thanks so much for the invite.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
As we wrap up this episode, remember EdTech Connect is your trusted companion on your journey to enhance education through technology. Whether you're looking to spark student engagement, refine EdTech implementation strategies, or stay ahead of the curve in emerging technologies, EdTech Connect brings you the insights you need. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an inspiring and informative episode. And while you're there, please leave us a review. Your feedback fuels us to keep bringing you valuable content. For even more resources and connections, head over to edtechconnect.com, your hub for EdTech reviews, trends, and solutions. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.